If you have a Bible, we're in Ephesians 6, and we started this series called I Will Fight last weekend. Just a little recap. Ephesians 6 talks about some really hard things, difficult things, things like that the enemy is contending against you. And if you're a person in this room and you maybe haven't been raised in church, or maybe you have been in church and you've bought into the lie, and it is a lie, but you've bought into the lie that the devil is not real, I'm just letting you know that that is a lie. Our culture has made him a cartoon, has made light of what the enemy and the impact the enemy can have on our lives. He's made light of it, and so we sometimes get confused by it. We sometimes downplay it a little bit because you and I are afraid of sounding creepy. You and I are afraid of sticking out in the sense of somebody pointing a finger at us and going, "That dude is weird." Because I think we would pray and do things differently if that wasn't a concern. I would see things differently. My conversations would be different. Why? Because I'm walking around with an understanding that there's a real enemy that really wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your relationships. And we either can say that's not what it's about, and we can say, "No, my life is a lot easier. I have great parents. I have a great family. I have all of these things." Or we can look at the reality. And this is the reality. A lot of people don't speak out of Ephesians 6. I'm not saying I'm special. I'm not saying we're different. I'm not saying all those things. I'm just saying a lot of people avoid Ephesians 6 because it can scare people. We'd rather talk about love and grace, and those are all great. Those are all good. Those are important. But I'm not going for the goosebump effect today. I'm going for the real effect. What does the Bible say about this? And here's what I want us to see in 1 John first and foremost. It says, "But you belong to God." I could end right there. It's what Deanna just said. When there's an understanding who you belong to, then you're totally different by the way you see things. When you understand you belong to God, first and foremost, you have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. This is what the writer is saying. He's saying, listen, first and foremost, you belong to God. Well, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand all these things. Nope. Skip all that. He says, but you belong to God. You belong to God. That should shut a lot of our conversations up. When someone comes at you and says, "Well, I've done," you belong to God. You have victory where you are right now. But we don't believe that. You know why we don't believe that? Because things happen to you. Life happens to you. Sin happens to you. People happen to you. And so now we don't believe that because we could be on cloud nine when our relationships are good and my marriage is good and my family's good and there's money in the bank account. But when it doesn't happen like that, now we're going, "God's not real. He doesn't even love me. I don't belong to God. There's no money. My husband is a jerk. My kids are crazy. My relationships are, it must be me, it must be God getting me back from 25 years ago when I cussed at somebody. I flipped them off, I shouldn't have done it, I should have waved and said, and now God is getting me." Let me tell you, that is not how God operates. That is how a genie in a bottle operates, not God. And we've taken our relationship with Christ and we've said, "God, could you be a genie that I get three wishes?" And God says, "I'm not answering that prayer." And you think it as that I'm going against you. I'm saying no because of what potentially it could do to you. So you're saying, "God, I don't understand why I don't have good relationships and I'm single and all these things that happen." God's saying, "I'm saying no to that guy because of what it could possibly be down here. You only see right here." God says, "I'm seeing down here." There's a big difference. You're seeing God's no as rejection, and God's just saying, "I'm doing it for your protection." That's why. And so you've and I, when we look at the armor of God and what he's asked us to put on, he says, in the day of evil, put on this armor. And he says, first and foremost, put on the belt of truth. You and I, this is going to be funny, we don't like truth. We don't like truthful things. We like made up things. We like lie to me things. Don't tell me the truth. We've said things like, well, the truth does hurt. Yes, it does. But you and I ultimately don't like truth. And it's hard for us to read this because when you talk about the armor of God in Paul's days, when you're reading the Bible, don't look at it from just our culture standpoint. You got to do some research. You can't just take one scripture, apply it to your life, and think that's what it means. There's got to be some things that happen. When you read the Bible, he's talking to an audience that did not live in 2017, okay? He's talking to an army of people that wore different armor than our army wears today. And so when he talks about the belt of truth, you can't just, they wore a tunic underneath this thing. Now, I have all kinds of speculation. I'm not going to put it on because it's going to mess up my hair, my microphone. And so, I'm just kidding. I don't mind putting it on. This shirt is kind of trendy these days. I mean, I see a lot of people wearing these shirts. A lot of preachers wearing these shirts that should never do that. And so, but they're out there. And so, this is what a tunic looked like in that day. They put this on before they put on the armor. Okay, this has a lot of stains on it. I've never worn it, okay? I would imagine, though, that this type of tunic, you put a belt around it, and Brent has given me his belt, and it's really dirty. So that's good, Brent. That means it's being used, right? If it was clean, I'd be like, this belt, as you put it on, it connects to everything else in the armor. It connects to the breastplate of righteousness, which connects to the helmet. It connects to the shoes of peace. We don't understand that because we like Nikes. Not boots, all right? I mean, not yet. It's not after Labor Day, but not that I know or anything. But everything connects. Everything connects to this. You take this off, the belt of truth off, then nothing else fits. For us today, it's if I'm not standing on truth, truth first and foremost from the Word of God, then everything else is going to be a possibility of an attack. That means the breastplate doesn't fit right. That means the shoes don't fit right. That means the helmet doesn't fit right. That means all of those things don't fit right if I don't have the truth on first. And the truth is not a Sunday morning experience. The truth is you getting into the Word of God and finding out what God says about you, not what some boy with hormones does. He's telling you some things that you don't need to hear. For one other reason. God says, I'm going to tell you the truth. So understand this. Without the belt of truth, first and foremost, because I'm looking at these six things out of Ephesians 6, and I'm going, why do we start with the belt? I don't put a belt on first. There's some days I forget a belt. Right? There's a lot of people who forget belts, you know. We forget things like that. So I'm looking at it going, why in the world? Because it's not a belt like you and I have. It's not a belt buckle. It connects to the armor. And let me say this. The six things are what all of us are supposed to put on. It's not that you just put on the belt and you're a belt person, or you just put on the breastplate of righteousness and that's your armor, or you just put on the helmet and that's your armor. No, you as a follower of Jesus are to put on all six items. And when those items are on, then you are properly equipped. What does he say? To stand in the day of evil. What does that mean? That means that there are going to be days that are more evil than the others. That's what that means. And so he says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in times of trouble. The word of truth. Ephesians says it this way. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. He's saying, listen, when you have the belt of truth on, that means when somebody comes along and speaks things that sound like truth, you have an understanding that it's wrong. See, when I'm wearing the belt of truth, then I can't be suckered into some other form of the gospel. And this is the scheme of what the enemy wants us to do. But we have to know the truth. And so the Bible says this about the Bible. It says this about the word of truth. It says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. If you're the person that there's no wrong in your lives, you're going to have a hard time reading the Bible. That doesn't pertain to me. Nope, that's not me. That's my sister-in-law. That's my in-laws. Yep, that's my husband. Oh man, that is really good, but not for me. You're going to have a hard time. And says it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people for what? Every good work. You want to know why you're not doing good works? You want to know why? God, I don't understand why this is happening in my life. It's because you're not fully equipped. And we can't say that because we are so consumed by feelings. First Timothy says it this way. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that anywhere. Like, demons, really? This is freaky stuff. And again, I can read this and I can go, huh, I don't want to do that. That's like Halloween stuff. Or we can go, God, am I equipped? Am I equipped? Or am I believing a lie? 2 Timothy also says it this way. Soldiers, don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Hear this. As a follower of Jesus, you are in a fight. As I've already stated, and I will not state again after this, you are in the fight of your life whether you like it or not. Whether you believe it or not, you are in the fight of your life. Okay? And as a follower of Jesus, there's some things that you're not to participate in because you're a follower of Jesus. Not because it's a gray area, not because it's like, well, I don't know. It's because I'm looking at the word of truth as an evaluator, as a mirror for my life. When I'm asked to what my identity is, and I'll get into this in a second, my identity is to mirror the likeness of Jesus. That's what I'm supposed to do. So when you want to get up and you want to say, I'd rather hate and I'd rather throw these words out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that what Jesus would do? Everything is a reflection of what he would do. And so we're taking moments of our lives where we're stepping back and we're going, am I following Jesus? Am I a reflection of Jesus? I'm not asking questions like, have I been at church this summer? Am I tithing right? Do I sign up for a small group or don't I? I'm going, am I reflecting Jesus? Bottom line, I don't care what church you go to, am I reflecting Jesus? And that's what I'm asking. That's what we have to evaluate. And I put that up with the Bible. Not opinions. The Bible. The belt of truth. And it's difficult because John 8 says it this way. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus told them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Because I have come to you from God, I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I am saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. See, the contention that's happening is for us to take off the belt of truth. When I take off the belt of truth, now I'm walking around and I'm wondering and I'm confused and I'm not measuring my life with the standard, which is the Word of God. I'm not doing any of those things. There's confusion there because I'm listening to lies, things that are wrong about my life, and I'm wondering, Now all of a sudden I'm susceptible to an attack because the belt of truth isn't on. Because the belt of truth isn't on, now I'm exposed. And now my mind isn't right. And now I'm saying and doing things that at one point in my life I said, I would never do that. Man, I would never say those things. Why? Because I was walking with my life at a time where I was wearing the belt of truth. I was following Jesus. And he says, here's this enemy that we're fighting. Here's what he is. He's a liar. Not only is he a liar, he's a father of lies. There's no truth in him. In fact, he hates the truth. And that's what we read. That's the game plan in front of us. And this is why Satan lies to us. Satan lies about our identity. It's what Deanna just said. If the enemy can lie to you about your identity and confuse you about why you're on earth and confuse you why you were even born, then all of a sudden he has you. You're walking around confused. He's lying to you about your identity. That's his goal. And it's from the beginning. Again, if you attend here, let me say this. If you're a person that says, this is my church, let me tell you this. You should not have an identity issue. Here is your identity. God said in the beginning, let us make man in his image. You are a bearer of Jesus Christ and you are to reflect that. And since God is love, you are to love. Since God is a forgiver, you are to forgive. Since God is compassionate, you are to be compassionate. And it doesn't say compassionate to the cool people, compassionate to the likable people, love the people that are lovable, forgive the people that haven't hurt you that bad. It doesn't say any of those things. It does not excuse the type of person that you are to forgive because you are a reflection and made in the image of God. And because you're made in the image of God, you are to reflect the characteristics of who God is, and that is your identity. That is what you are called to do. Now, the byproduct of your identity is God is going to take you to India. He's going to take you into kids' ministry. He's going to take you to a job that you hate, but he wants you there. And you're like, oh, Jesus, I'll go to India. Here's the hard part. You don't get to decide that. So then you're like, well, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in my life. Reflect Jesus. God, what are you doing in this season? That's not for you to know right now. Just keep walking. He's ordered your steps. He's not ordered your mountains. God, if I could just see the top of the mountain, then maybe I'll go far. No, you won't. You will not go. Listen, if he doesn't order my steps, I'm not in Colombia. And some of you are like, I wish he wouldn't have ordered his steps. I got you. I'm ahead of you. I'm thinking ahead of you. I'm not here. I've skipped some steps along the way. I'm like, oh, I would have skipped that process. He said, actually, that process was hard, but it was beneficial. That is your job. And the enemy wants to lie to you about your identity. The enemy wants to bring confusion. Come on, guys. This isn't just you. This is our culture. Is there not confusion right now? What is the contention that's happening right now? The contention that's happening right now is the devil is lying about our identity. I mean, it doesn't even make sense anymore. Like, throw common sense way out the window. So much that, I mean, listen, no disrespect, but if you're 60 and older, like, you're probably, your head's about to explode. You're probably like, I miss the good old days, and I'm with you. Like, I am with you, and every teenager right now is rolling their eyes. They're rolling their eyes in their hearts, if nothing else. Like, I believe in prophetic grounding. Like, listen, I'm going to say something, and I know you're going to roll your eyes in the next couple days. You're grounded. Just give me your cell phone now. You know what I'm talking about, Jay. Just give me your cell phone right now. Just give me your cell phone right now. I didn't do anything, but you will. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. All you need to know is this. The enemy is against you, and he's going to lie to you to try to deceive you off of your existence and why you're here. And this is what else Satan does. He lies about how attractive sin is. He wants to make sin more attractive. Listen, I have no doubt in my mind sin is attractive. I will also tell you this, sin is temporary, and that it does have consequences. Those are all sub points. It is attractive, it is temporary, and it does have consequences. Your consequences of your sin is not a reflection that God hates you. The consequences of your sin is that God does love you and there is correction that has to happen, and it comes from the belt of truth. You can't take the belt off and go, oh, I'm going to go ahead and start sinning and put the belt back on and say, God, what do you say about my life? And not think that there's not any consequences from when you took the belt off. See, when I have the belt on, I see to get my eyes off of point is to destroy me, to distract me, to get my eyes off of my wife and my eyes on something greater. Why? Because sin and the devil lies to us about how to make sin attractive. And the ultimate goal of that attraction is to distract and to destroy and to kill whatever is in my path, your path. That is what the enemy wants to do. He lies to give our world another gospel. Listen, we are living in a culture where social justice is very important in our culture. Serving the poor, giving water to people in Africa, all of these things, very important. Things that I'm saying to you that are very important. But the enemy loves that that is what we're making our culture about. But when we start talking about the gospel, which means the good news, and we start talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we don't include Jesus, and we don't include the blood of Jesus, and we don't include the fact that he died at Calvary so you and I can have life, then we're missing the point of what the gospel is. The good news is not that we give water to people in Africa, though that's good. It's not the gospel. It is not the good news. The good news is that Jesus died on the cross so that you and I can be saved. And because I'm changed and because I've accepted the fact that he's forgiven me, now I want to do good to the people around the world. And that is why I do it. I don't do it for volunteer hours. I don't do it to make myself feel good. I do it because Jesus changed me and now I'm giving back. And if I forget that, and if I do something totally different because of that, I have a different version of the gospel, and the devil loves it. If we are only at this church about certain things, and they're good things, they are good things. Good things. But if we make those good things God things, then we've missed the point. We've missed the point. I love walking the parade, but if all we are is a parade walking church, we've missed the point. Well, here's what we're going to do. Every Saturday, we're just going to do parades. There's not even a parade. It's okay. We're just going to pass out water, throw out candy, and throw out blue cups. That's it. That's all we're going to do. He wants us to believe another gospel. Galatians 1 says, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one that we preach to you. He's telling the Galatian church, guys, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to go good for you if you start believing the lie that the gospel is just this. If we're witnessing to people and what we're saying to them is, come to my church, it's a really cool church, it's got a really good looking back. If we're saying all those things and we're not saying, but this is what Jesus did for you, we're missing the point of the gospel church. And I would question, if that's on the forefront of our minds, why we're attending church. Oh, I'm not supposed to judge the motives. I know it's for the coffee and all the other stuff, but it's Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. Yeah. Satan lies to get men to use more excuses. Satan lies to destroy the power of the church. Satan lies to destroy your family. Listen, the enemy knows that if he can lie to you, it doesn't take both of you. It always took the minority to change the majority. It took 12 men to change the world. And one of them betrayed him. So it was really 11. 11 men changed the world. When you look at anything in our culture, and I'll just say the United States of America, The minority are the loudest, and because the minority is the loudest, that's what we think the reality is. It's not the reality. It only takes one. It only takes one person standing up, and now all of a sudden you got a couple people going, yeah, I kind of like what that guy had to say. Yep, yeah. And so now, it's not that the majority thinks this, it's that one guy thinks it, and now two guys, and now the people that don't have the belt of truth on, all of a sudden they're going, yeah, I can see that. There's some truth there. And all of a sudden we're divided. He's not trying to get both of your spouses. He just needs to get one of them. He doesn't need to get all four of your kids. He just needs to get one of them. And now all of a sudden your whole family's jacked up because one of them. It's lies. Lies. Jesus told the church in Mark 10, there's one thing you lack. Listen, we tend to think that there's a bunch. We tend to think like, man, I got all this stuff going on. He says like, no, it's just one thing. Just one. Let's just talk about the one. And that's all the devil needs. Just needs one thing. One thing. That's all he needs. And here's the thing. When you and I buy into these lies, and we do buy in, okay? We buy in. First and foremost, it hurts ourselves. When I buy into the lie, it hurts me. Me first and foremost. 1 Peter 3:10 says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Listen to this. When you lie, you now have to cover up that lie with at least 10 more lies. Okay? So now each of those 10 lies you got to cover up. Well, that's a lot of lies. Okay? So when the enemy tells you a lie, now you believe that lie, and now your lie is that spread out all over your world, whatever your world looks like, from school to family to coworkers. Now all of a sudden you believe that lie. It ultimately, in the beginning, only hurts you. Because everybody around can believe whatever they want, but if you believe the lie, it affects you. If the enemy can get you to believe a lie, now he knows the influence that you have, and now you're going to spread that lie everywhere else. And now because you believe that lie, ultimately, though, it hurts you. Hurts you, first and foremost. And he says, you need to stop speaking lies. So here's what happens. The enemy comes and he wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy, and he speaks lies to us. And now because he's speaking lies to us, we believe these lies. And now we take these lies and we take them into our families. And we kind of change a little bit because that's what we do. You know what I mean? Like when we tell stories, we like sell it from our perspective. You know what I'm talking about? It's not like, that's not how it really happened, but it's how it happened in your mind. You know what I mean? Like it's glorified. Like when you score a goal, it's like the best goal of all time, but it was like it was a mistake by the goalie. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like that great of a goal, but to you, it was like, dude, that was the best goal ever. You should have been there. Because that's what we do. And ultimately, it hurts us. And when I believe the lies, it also hurts other people. A wife once asked her husband why he doesn't play golf with Ted anymore. Her husband replied, would you play golf with a man who moved the golf ball with his foot when you weren't watching? His wife said, well, no, I wouldn't. Her husband said, well, neither will Ted. You and I are, whether you admit this or not, and I, obviously we're different in this, a lot of us, but we be in social beings. We were created for relationships. We are created to be in relationship, not to do life alone. And when I believe a lie that the enemy tells us, it affects my relationships. It affects who I'm around. It hinders, destroys those relationships. Paul says it this way, stop telling lies and let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all a part of the same body. Here's what you and I have to understand, that whether you like people or not does not change the fact that they are part and belong to Jesus. Okay? They got different beliefs than you. They got different rate. How they were raised is different than you. But that doesn't change the fact that there's still opportunity for them to belong. And the moment that we start thinking things like, well, this is for me and that's for them, we've missed the heart of Jesus himself. You and I have to understand that the people, again, I said this last week, I'll say it every single week, the people that you think are your enemy are really not your enemy. They were still made in the same image of God that you were made in. They're just in a different path than you are right now. And that's okay. Let me ask this. Do we make that okay? Do we allow them to continue down that path, or do we stop them in that path? Because listen to me. If I'm believing a lie and I say things, I have the potential of stopping them or encouraging them from heading down that path. Yeah? I'm losing you. If I believe this lie, it pushes us away from God. Ultimately, it hurts you and it hurts the people around you, but it hinders your relationship with Christ. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. That doesn't mean he still doesn't reach out to you. That doesn't mean he still doesn't have a plan for your life, but it does. All of a sudden, there's a disconnect between you and God. And so now things like God conversations and coming to church seems weird and being around people, you assume things. All why? Because there's a discontent that's happening in your relationship with Christ. Because Romans 1 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Listen, ultimately, my life is a reflection of how I view God. How I view God will determine how I continue my life. So if I see God as a forgiving God, then I'll have no problem asking for forgiveness. If I see God as a loving God, then I'll have no problem. It's no different in parenting. You know, as a teenager, which parent is more loving? Right? Which parent gets asked more? And I'll be honest, at my house, it's my wife. She's less likely to ask questions. This is my dad growing up. My dad wasn't going to ask questions. It's like, my dad's ultimately going to say yes. Without the questions. I'm not going to mom. Mom's going to interrogate me. My mom did some crazy stuff. Our dating relationship was like, I lived in fear of that woman. Mom, I'm going to a movie. Which movie? The one at the theater. What's it rated? Well, even if I lied, I knew at some point my mom was going to be in that theater. You think I'm lying. Mom, if you're watching right now, that was the best parenting technique. You sitting behind me in a movie theater. Watching Indecent Proposal. I know I wasn't supposed to be in it. It was an indecent proposal. That's the first movie I thought of, which is a whole nother problem. Why did I think of that movie? Sheesh. There's some things that are hard to recover from. That might be one of them. I am. Oh, boy. I am red, aren't I? I have rosacea. A principle to remember, and this, I'm going to have to explain this because you're going to disagree with me. Hear what I'm saying to you. It is not always essential for us to tell the truth. Pin drop. We've confused honesty with being frank. We've not married honesty and love together. There are a lot of things that are truthful that does not mean you should say those things. Yeah? Ephesians 4 says it this way. Let everything you say be good and helpful, and that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. This is the mistake that you and I make. You don't have a right to speak certain things into people's life because you were never given permission to speak into their life because it's not good and it's not helpful. Because you've not married it with love and kindness, first and foremost. And it can be true all day long, but it doesn't mean it's something that you should say. In other words, we should build up or shut up. And this goes on every form of social media that you're on. If you're 55 and older, it's Facebook. If you're 18 and under, it's Snapchat. Whatever the form of social media you are on, it's either to build up or just keep your mouth shut. Because we believe the lie, and the lie is that I gotta speak the truth and it doesn't matter how it comes out, and that's a lie from the enemy. You have no right to say what you're about to say. It could be true all day long. And it could be in the name of justice. And most of the time it's the name of the wrong thing, and Jesus is getting the wrong image. You should not be a spokesman when you don't have the belt of truth on for Jesus. Because I promise you, Jesus is not doing what you would be doing right now. He's not protesting. He's not driving cars into crowds. He's not doing any of those things. In fact, if Jesus was there, he would be walking over and he would be a hugger first and foremost. I can guarantee you that. Probably side hug, you know. Christian version, you know. No frontals. He's side hugging. He's handing out waters. He's asking people questions. You know why? Because Jesus would be there for the long haul, not the media attention. You find out who's really wanting the attention. Honesty means that everything you say must be true, not that everything that is true must be said. You have to hear this. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. That's what Paul told the Ephesians 4 church in Ephesians 4. He said, listen, speaking the truth in love, with relationship, with influence. Again, don't allow the enemy to believe a lie of the enemy that being frank and being honest and being bold and this is just who I am. No. Because you're hurting people in the process, because it's not building them up, it's tearing them down. Yes, it's truth, but you're tearing them down. I think personally it's okay. This is what I would do. Maybe not. I think we should tell people more than we do to shut up. In a loving way. I think we show our love for people when we pull them to the side and say, listen, man, that's not helping anybody. That's not building anybody up. That's stirring things up. See, when it talks about bearing false witness, when the Bible talks about that, we should take the opposite approach on that and just bear truth witness. In the sense that it doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing, but what we do has to be effective. And it's speaking truth in love, and it's loving people where they are, and it's building people up for the encouragement so that when people walk away from you, they go, I don't necessarily like what he said, but I love the way he said it. Versus, when you say it the way you say it, they don't hear what you're saying because of how you said it. Add commas. I'm not an English guy either. Add commas. What does that mean? Add pauses. Chill out. Respond, don't react. Pray about what you're about to say or type or text. And if Jesus tells you to say it and it's mean, that's the wrong voice. And you're now following not Jesus. I'll let you figure out who you're following right now. I came to church and you told me I was following the devil. Well, there's times that you are. Because the character that we're displaying sometimes is more a reflection of the devil than is Jesus. And I love you. Stop believing the lie and put on the belt of truth. God, today, God, we need you. And God, I know right now it's very difficult to put on the belt. There's a lot of attachments. There's a lot of correction. There's a lot of truth that will come to our life that is different than how we're living even right now. But God, I pray that we would stop believing a lie. That we're not loved. That we're not needed. That something's over when it's not over. God, that we would put everything into perspective from the Word of God and not from opinions and not from voices, but from your voice and from who you are and from what your promises are. God, that we might have to go deeper than where we currently are with a greater understanding of what you've called us to be and to do. God, I pray that the Spirit of truth, the Word of truth, would reign true with the people of Life Community Church, that we stand on that foundation, that your word is truth, and if that foundation is off, then everything else is going to be off in my life. God, we need your help today. In Jesus' name. Guys, would you stand with me? If you're here today, you need prayer for anything, we have a team that will be here. They're available to pray with you. Let's sing this song together if we can.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.